Welcome to the second webcast of Kidmin Talk. I'm your host, Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist, broadcasting alive, if not live, from Kidology.org, the Internet's leading destination for children's ministry. Today's program is sponsored by the Almighty Bible, and I'll be giving away a copy later in the show that cannot yet be purchased yet anywhere. And we'll be featuring the music of Rob Biaggi. In fact, it is one of his tunes you're listening to right now. If you'd like to help shape the show with your comments, questions, or suggestions, just drop me an email at carl@kidmintalk.com or post a tweet to Kidmin Talk. I'll be revealing the first Kidmin keyword in our ABCs of Kidology, along with our first Kidmin Talk winner. And I'll begin a Kidmin coaching session with a brand new CP who wants to know the first step in beginning a new ministry or renewing a ministry that needs refreshing. So let's talk Kidmin. Well, over the weekend, I went to an air show, and I gotta admit, we were a little nervous. Well, at least I was a little nervous. I can't speak for everybody else, but we had front row seats, and the acrobatics were going. They were stalling these planes. They were flying them sideways, upside down. They were stalling them. They were falling out of the air to the last second. And with some of these tragedies, that these really sad events that have happened in the recent weeks at air shows and air races in Reno, I was a little nervous. And but it was spectacular. We got to see these parachute jumpers, military guys from around the country, and just some phenomenal pilots. And then there it was. It was halfway through the event. They also had the touch of trucks that they do with kids who were climbing on military vehicles and touching airplanes, and they had some race cars there. And then I notice, as I go to take a picture to, you know, update the Facebook page and tag it, you know, that my iPhone's missing. And I'm like, oh no, this is not what I need, you know. And I know some of you are going to say, oh, you're too attached to your iPhone. But, you know, your phone is an important piece of equipment. And so I'm trying to think, when did I see my phone last? And I realized the last time I saw it was back in the car. We had made a wrong turn, and I pulled off the road to call my dad, who'd gone ahead with some of the other cousins, and to get directions. And I thought, well, it's probably just back in the car. But I didn't want to assume that, because if it had fallen out of my phone holster on my belt, then I need to find it. I need to go to Lost and Found or retrace my steps. So I left the family and said, you know, I just need to solve this iPhone mystery. And it was a long walk out of the airfield and back onto the shuttle and back out to the parking lot at this military Air Force base. And the phone was not in the car. So now I had a little crisis on my hands. And I'm thinking, what do I do? How in the world am I going to find an iPhone in all this crisis? I mean, in this giant place. And then I realize that Apple iPhones have this feature called Find My iPhone. And in the car, I had left my iPad, and I have a broadband card, so I'm a walking internet hub. So I fire up the broadband card from Verizon, and I fire up the iPad, and I go to me.com, and it tells me that there's now an app for Find My Phone. So I download the app, and I fire up the app, and I log into my Mobile Me account, it finds my iPhone, and it shows me that it's on the base somewhere. So I'm going to start tracking it. So I start walking around with my iPhone, but I don't really understand the map, and there's not street signs on a base like there is in a neighborhood. And then I notice the iPhone's moving. So somebody's got my iPhone. Now, I don't know if it's a good person who's trying to find me, or if it's someone that, you know, stole it, or what. And but I'm tracking my iPhone, and it's kind of cool. And but it's moving around on these roads. And so eventually I found a soldier, and I asked this Sergeant Nelson, who I'd like to thank. Well, he'll never hear this podcast, I'm sure, but thank you, Sergeant Nelson, who helped me interpret the map. And I figured out, with Sergeant Nelson's help, that the route that my iPhone was moving, as I showed him the different places it had been, that my phone was probably on one of the shuttles. So when I was carrying chairs and dealing with the five-year-old and all the stuff, it had popped out of my belt. And I had ridden the shuttle back to the main parking lot, and that's where I met this sergeant. I had actually ridden on the shuttle with my iPhone, not knowing it. I had been that close to finding it. But by then I'd gotten off the shuttle and talked to the sergeant. So I had to wait as all these different shuttles came by. And about 20 minutes later, the shuttle came back. And when I went to get on the bus to look for the iPhone, I asked the bus driver if anyone had found an iPhone. And she holds it up, and the mystery was solved. But it took me about 45 minutes of searching and tracking and everything. And it was pretty cool, though. But, you know, it got me to thinking that we're in that business. You know, kids are lost. They don't necessarily know they're lost. I mean, obviously my iPhone did not know it's lost. It's an inanimate object. But kids are lost. And we are their GPS. We're not a global positioning system, but we're a God positioning system. And kids turn to us. They track us. And they watch you. And they look for patterns in your life. And they find God and they find their way because of your guidance, and you are the device in their life that helps them and enables them to find God. But you've got to be logged in to God yourself. You've got to be connected to Him in order for them to find you. If I had not had that broadband card, if I had not had that iPad, if I had not had those tools and been equipped, I would not have been able to find that phone. And you've got to be equipped. And you've got to have the tools so that you are connected to God, so that you are everything that you can be, so that when the kids connect to you, they're connecting to the source and they're connecting to God. And I just want to share that really cool story with you. It's linked there on my blog and in the show notes if you actually want to see some screenshots of how that Find My iPhone works. It was pretty awesome. Well, you heard at the beginning that today's show is featured by Rob Biaggi, and I asked him to create some bumper music for me, or asked him if I could use some of his music, because I love Rob Biaggi's music. There's a lot of great Christian artists out there, and I would like to feature many of them on the show. In fact, if you've got some music and you'd like to have it featured on Kidman Talk, contact me, and I'd like to ask you to send me two CDs, one for me to keep and one to give away on the show, and I'd like to help spread the word about your great music. But I went after Rob Biaggi because he's one of my favorites. The reason is music is awesome, but beyond the great music, there's always great lyrics that really teach. I chose, with Rob's help and suggestions, I Won't Turn My Back on You, and let me just play you a little bit of a taste of this. You heard that at the beginning of the show today. This is I Won't Turn My Back on You. This is from his second album, Get Out There. Available on Kidology. God will never turn His back on you. And it goes into how we can pray and how God answers. Trust God all the way. I love that. The kids answer yay. See, we always teach kids that God answers prayer three ways. Yes, no, and wait. So he just changed it to not today because it rhymes. You know, I've always taught that God answers prayer three ways. Actually, four ways. Yes, no, wait. And are you crazy? Because sometimes we pray some pretty crazy things. And but I love that song, and I love his lyrics, and they're so educational, and they're so on target, and so biblical. And I'm going to show you and play for you. Can't really show you in a webcast. A couple more things, a couple more songs off that album as we go through the podcast today. And just so awesome. And you can get his Get Out There CD. Right on Kidology. It's linked in the show notes. And if you're interested in having Rob come out to your church, robbiaggi.com, one of the most energetic and incredible performers, I would highly encourage you to have him come out. And we've worked out a deal with Rob that if you have a Kidology to go training at your church, you can have Rob Biaggi on Friday night before the Kidology to Go, you know, training. You know, we've got this RV going around America doing Kidology training. Rob will do a discounted concert at your church on Friday night for parents and kids. Then he'll do the worship on Saturday morning at your Kidology to Go at a discounted rate. And you might want to look in to that as well. The other great thing that I did over the weekend is I spoke at an FCM conference in Colorado Springs. And if you've not heard of FCM, the Fellowship of Christian Magicians, or maybe you've heard of it and you've thought, well, I'm not a magician. You know, I'm not into gospel magic. But let me ask you, are you into ventriloquism or are you into storytelling? Are you interested in juggling or are you into puppets or balloons or clowning or drama or mime or chalk art or face painting? You see, the Fellowship of Christian Magicians is about so much more than just gospel illusion. And if any of those creative arts or creative ways of communicating and teaching kids interests you, you really owe it to yourself to look into the Fellowship of Christian Magicians. Their website is just fcm.org. I've linked it in the show notes. And I would encourage you to check out their website. It's an international organization in USA, Canada, in Germany, in the United Kingdom. They've even got chapters in Hong Kong. And find out if they have a chapter near you. This conference was put together so fantastically. They had wonderful workshops. They had great exhibitors with so many just wonderful, incredible object lessons and resources available for sale. I came home with just some really cool stuff. My favorite thing was a bag of foam letter Bs in different colors. And you're like, what in the world is that for? Well, so that I have them in a container in my basement and people go, what is that? I say, they're freebies. So people always asking me for freebies. So it's a freebie. Get it? Free B. They're letter Bs, so I can give people freebies when they come to my house. But anyway, check out FCM, and even if they don't have a chapter where you live, if you join, it's very affordable. And then there's a magazine that you get, and the magazine is filled with the great articles and gospel illusions and things like that. So you'll definitely, if you're into any way to creatively communicate the gospel, you should check out the Fellowship of Christian Magicians and all the resources that are there. And as far as the Kidman world and things that are going on there, some of you are probably getting back from D6 and all thinking and your head's all buzzing and excited about partnering with parents. And you've probably gone there and heard lots of messages, or maybe you wished you could have gone to D6 where you would have been challenged to be a Deuteronomy 6 church focused on partnering with parents and heard all kinds of messages. And but you know, sometimes we come back and we wonder, well, what does that mean? And how do we do that? I took a sabbatical from my church in 2004 and I traveled the country visiting children's pastors and asking them, what do you do to partner with parents? And the biggest common denominator that I got in answer was a sense of failure. And I got the word try repeatedly. Well, we tried this, and we tried this. Or we try to get parents to do this, and we try to get parents to do that. And it was kind of discouraging to me because I was hoping to come back to my church with this great vision and idea of what other churches were doing. And often we go to these conferences, whether it's D6 or Children's Pastors Conference, these other places, and we want them to give us the answer. And they don't. They just tell us that we need to be doing it. And they give us all the stuff to go home and try. And we come home and we try to force this on our parents. And was really through a great conversation I had with a good friend of mine that I talked about on the last show, Henry Zonio, who wrote that article. There's an app for that. It's now on Kidology. And it really centered on the word partnering. And a true partnership means that two people, two parties, have come together and agreed on terms. But when we partner with parents, too often what we do is we come up with our terms of what we think they should be doing and what we think we should do, and we start doing it. And parents, they have their idea of what they think the church should be doing and what they should be doing, and so they're doing their best and taking from the church what they think the church should be doing, and it's not a partnership. It's two separate parties, each writing their own terms. In fact, on Kidology, I've got a really funny video of two puppets that go into business with each other, best friends, and they buy a book called Non-Negotiated Business Partnerships for Dummies. And they end up not being friends at the end because it doesn't work. They all decide to go into business together, both of them, non-negotiated partnership. And it's a disaster. It's a funny video, but it end up, it's done like a documentary where they're interviewed by this puppet girl. And so I thought, well, what would it look like if I did a negotiated partnering with the parents in my church? And that's what I did. I held some meetings and I got together with parents and I actually asked them, what do you think partnering looks like? What would you agree to? What do you want me to do? And we actually came into a written and signed partnering relationship where I agreed to some things, the parents agreed to things, and those that agreed to come into a partnering relationship were the parents that I partnered with. The rest of the parents, I offered great programs that they took advantage of, but I came into a partnering agreement with parents who were willing to genuinely partner with me. And we called it our VIP initiative, which stood for Very Intentional Parents. If you go into Kidology's online training program, it's all described there in the Partnering with Parents lab. It's linked in the show notes, and I would really encourage you to check that out if you really want to know what it means to actually partner with parents in a real, genuine partnering program. And I'm not saying it is the answer, but it is an approach to take, and I've been very encouraged by churches who have taken that lab and adapted it. And many have written to me and told me about their adaptations and how they have done it in different ways and tweaked it. I did a year-long program. Some have done 10-week programs and different ways of tweaking it to fit their church. You never copy what another church did exactly because it won't work. You need to always customize and contextualize to your church. But the principle of a negotiated agreement works. I've also linked there in the show notes an article about this that Children's Ministry Magazine published called The New Deal. And it's there, as well as an article called Two Raging Battles. And that is the battle between parents and church. And there seems to be so much conflict between parents and church, where the church is blaming parents, saying they're just bad parents. They're not taking ownership of their spiritual responsibility. And parents are frustrated by the church because they're feeling like, you know, the church is failing to raise their kids. And what we want, both of us, is kids who will follow Jesus. And Rob Biaggi has a great song called I'm Following Jesus. In fact, one of the reasons I feel a debt to Rob Biaggi is that this song had a huge impact in my little boy coming to Christ. On the road of life, there's basically two ways you can go. You can choose abundant life, or say, whatever, dude, we'll see how it goes. I don't know about you, I just know about me. If I want to be free, I'm following Jesus. I love this song because this song really helped my little boy understand that there were two choices he could make. And we had explained the gospel and many times and in many different ways, but this song helped my little boy understand that he had a choice to make and that there were basically two roads, and he could choose to follow Jesus or he could just choose to go his own way. And at one point in his little life, we were driving in the car and he wanted to play the song over and over and over again, and he was singing it at the top of his lungs. And to be driving down the road and to hear your little boy in the back just bellowing out at the top of his lungs, I'm following Jesus, I'm following Jesus. And then to have him tell me the next day that he asked Jesus into his heart all by himself in his bed without our help. And when we tried to quiz him and make sure he really understood what he was doing, he said it was because, like Rob Biaggi said, there's two ways you can go, and I chose that I wanted to follow Jesus. Such meaningful songs, and he's a great guy, and I would really encourage you to incorporate Rob Biaggi's music into your children's ministry. Great motions and great songs. Well, back in 1996 was when I first published the original Kidology Handbook. I have here in my hands the spiral-bound version with a clear little cover. And see, how many pages is this thing? It's not super thick. Well, 67, 68, 69 pages. Look at that. I was born in 1969, so that's pretty telling. And in the back of it is something called the ABCs of Kidology. Now, if you don't have this, you're not handicapped at all. It was revised later to the Kidology Handbook that's now available on the website, which is 143 pages, 8.5 by 11, that's available as a download or as a PDF on a CD-ROM that you can order. But I had a page called the ABCs of Kidology, and it was basically just 26 keywords starting with every letter of the alphabet. And what I want to do in each podcast is take one of those letters of the alphabet and just work through A through Z and talk about one of those key letters. Now, I may not stick to those original ones. So if you have that original classic Kidology Handbook, it doesn't necessarily give you an advantage, although it might. But each show notes and each week, you will have the opportunity to try to guess or suggest the keyword. And I'm about to announce our winner of who won by guessing or suggesting our keyword for the letter A. Because this week, the letter A is going to stand for action, which is actually the original letter A. And when it comes to Kidology, when it comes to the study of kids, we've got to keep kids' bodies as busy as their minds. You know, I like to imagine that kids, you remember screensavers? We don't seem to use those as much as we used to, but a screensaver meant, you know, that as soon as the computer wasn't being used, you know, the screensaver would kick in. And it would just be pictures or a design or something. But then as soon as you touch the keyboard or the mouse or your trackpad, you know, the screensaver goes away. Well, kids' brains are like a screensaver. You know, as soon as they're not interested in what you're doing, their brain becomes a screensaver. They're no longer seeing anything that you're doing. But as soon as you move them or touch them, boom, that mental screensaver goes away and you've got their attention again. Well, keeping kids moving, keeping action going in your classroom prevents that mental screensaver from going up, because that mental screensaver can be what they're going to do that afternoon. It could be a video game, could be a book they're reading, it could be anything that they're thinking about, and that they might be looking at you, but they're not listening. You see eyeballs, but inside, behind those eyeballs, there's a screensaver going, and they're not hearing or comprehending or processing anything that you are doing. But by keeping them moving and active, you can make that screensaver disappear. So how do you do that? Well, there's a couple of ways. One, get kids on the stage. Constantly pull kids out of their chairs and up on the stage or in a classroom, just up to the front of the classroom. Have them hold things. Game time, obviously, people play games, but beyond the games, in the lesson, have them hold props, act things out, be engaged, constantly get kids out of their chairs in any way you can. Have them just turn their chairs around, all of them, and walk to the other side of the room and teach from the other side of the room. You can do that from all four sides of the room if you want. You can alternate what part of the room is the front of the room. Don't get stuck in a rut. Use kids in the audience as you're telling a story. You can have a kid stand up and say you're Jerusalem. Have another kid stand up and say that you are, you know, Bethlehem. And have another kid stand up and say you're Samaria. And you can act out how you'd have to walk all the way around Samaria, you know, to get there. But Jesus walked through and walked through the kids to do the woman at the well. And you can totally act out the story using the kids in the audience. And then get off the stage yourself and get out in the audience. You know, when I would get serious teaching and want to make the point and drive it home, I would walk out in the kids. I'd even take my stool sometimes out in the middle of the kids, sit down, ask them to pull all their chairs in kind of a serious huddle and kind of get serious with the kids, and that would pull them in. Move kids around, use them as props or locations. I mentioned that. Talk about leaving the room. You don't even have to stay in the room. Go on field trips. Take all the kids outside if you have an exit nearby and go sit on the grass outside under a tree. Take them out to the far end of the parking lot. Sometimes there's a little grass area with a tree. You've got a park nearby. Make sure you've covered permissions and all that. But if you can walk down the block and sit at a park and be back in time, do that. Go sit in the pastor's office. Take all the kids to the senior pastor's office if you can. There's ways to get them out of the room and moving around. I took my entire second grade class on the roof of Moody Church one Sunday when I was going to teach on the friends who lowered a man through the roof to Jesus. There was a ladder at Moody Church that went up to a ceiling, and it had a key lock. I got the key to that lock. I put it in my shirt pocket, and I pretended to pick the lock with paper clips. I said, "Ooh, wouldn't it be cool to go up there?" And I got a paper clip, and I climbed up there, and I was pretending to pick the lock. And then once they couldn't see, I reached in my shirt pocket, and I got the key, and I unlocked it, and I dropped it back in my shirt pocket. And then I got the paper clips again, and they thought I picked the lock so we could go up on the church roof. Now, they had 3-foot high like walls around the edge, so it was perfectly safe. And we went up on the roof of the church for that. And then use hands-on activities, obviously, with crafts and drawing and post-it notes and anything. But keep it active and, you know, running around the room. If you're, instead of raising hands, say if you think it's this, go stand on that wall. If you think it's that, go stand on that wall instead of just raising hands. If you keep it moving, you will keep kids engaged. So that's our ABC of Kidology for the letter A is action. Ask yourself, how can I get the kids moving and how can I keep it active? Now, our winner for this week, because in the forum on the show notes for show one, Tamara Jones, she suggested the word active. Now, she suggested like 35 things. So, you know, she kind of, you know, increased her odds a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to have rules about only 3 guesses. But anyway, there was only a couple suggestions, so I'm going to cut her some slack. But she's going to get a free copy of the Almighty Bible, the book of 2 Samuel. Now, this is not even available yet on their website. If you go to the Almighty, thealmightybible.com, you can learn about these incredible comic book graphic novels of the Bible. And they're working through the whole Bible. And they've got a online club that's growing. They've got graphics that you can buy to use in PowerPoints for teaching. This is a resource that if you've not learned about, you're going to be very excited to find out about it. And they've also just come out with a book of Acts. And I'm pretty excited because I wrote a little quote about them. And they put it on the back of the book of Acts. So right on the book of Acts, it says on the back cover, quote, "Finally, there is a Bible for kids and preteens that engages their eyes and captures their imaginations without sacrificing the biblical text. The Almighty Bible brings the Bible to life like never before for young readers." Carl Bastian, founder of Kidology.org. So I got to be on the back of the Acts one, and but I'm hanging on to that one because that's kind of cool. So, but I'm gonna mail Tamara Jones. And she can just contact me through the private messenger on the Kidology forum. I'm going to mail her a copy of 2 Samuel. Now, these are really cool because unlike a comic that has little bubble captions, they are just graphic art illustrations of the story. And then the biblical text is at the bottom of the page. And they're just beautifully done. And you can also get an iPad app or iPhone and read them on your devices. And so check out thealmightybible.com. You can learn more about it there. We're excited to have them as a sponsor of this podcast so that you can learn more about them as well. And if you would like to win a copy, I've got another copy of 2 Samuel that I would like to give away. And the way you can win those is submit your guess of what our Kidman keyword is going to be for the letter B. And you can send that by email, carl@kidmantalk.com. You can submit that in the forum for on the show notes for show two. Or you can tweet that to Kidman Talk, and that'd be awesome. And I would love to give you a copy of this almighty Bible. And it's a full-sized book. Let me see if it's got page numbers. Yeah, it's a 150-page graphic novel. So it is a very good quality book. Another Rob Biaggi tune, just to give you a taste.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Sound familiar? Great variety to his music, and the kids always love it. Well, in the Kidman Talk email bag, I got an email from a lady named Janine, and she was asking if I had heard of a study on how using speakers in the nursery could affect babies, either from the sound, by them thinking church is confusing, or when they grow up. And she wondered if this was valid because someone from her church had said this to her. And I don't think so. And in fact, it sounded to me like somebody was probably, possibly making that up to back up their opinion, but they really didn't want speakers in the nursery. But I think the crux of this issue is really asking, what's my opinion about speakers in the nursery? And by that question, I'm assuming the question is, pumping in the message, the sermon, or the worship service, because obviously you can have speakers in a nursery to play children's music or soothing music or baby songs. But I think the heart of the question here is, pumping in the sermon so that volunteers can hear what's going on in the adult service. And really, as far as my opinion goes, I would prefer, and I emphasize the word prefer, not to have the sermon pumped into a nursery. I would prefer that workers be engaged with young kids, playing with them, holding them, reading to them, playing music, talking to them. However, even though that's my preference, getting workers, I know, is always a challenge. So I'm not against the sermon being piped in. I think it can be nice for volunteers to still be able to hear the message. And I think you can still engage with babies, especially if they don't play it the whole time. Because I think the babies can enjoy the worship, but I certainly don't think that a sermon, depending on your preacher, of course, is confusing or harmful to a baby. I think that's kind of hogwash. I think if that were true, the speakers at Costco would be harmful. I think the radio in the car would be harmful. I think television at home would be harmful. I think that's kind of an excuse to use that, because babies are hearing talking and radios and things all the time. Although I think I did hear a study that found that adults going to the adult service can be found confusing in some churches. And so maybe they need to leave the adult service and volunteer in the children's ministry. That may be the answer that you want to give, Janine. But anyway, I'm just being tongue-in-cheek there.
Before I go, I stop.
I love this song.
Before I go, I stop.
So important.
Before I go, I stop. I don't want my day to flop. Before I go, I stop.
Such a creative way to talk about daily devotions. Don't get ahead of yourself. This applies to ministry. Before I run, I walk. Before I go, I stop. sit with the Lord and talk. Then I go all out. So before I go crazy, I stop and talk to the Lord, make sure you're on the same page with Him, and then just totally go all out. Then it's okay to go all out. But first, you got to start with the Lord. Well, one of the things I want to do on this podcast is a bit of a kind of a coaching thing. You know, we've got Kidology Coaching. We've got two wonderful coaches, Barney Kennard and Pastor Todd McGeever, who work with some students, prodigies, as one of our coaches at least refers to them. But not everybody has the time or the resources to have a coach. And so I would like to pretend that that you want to engage in a coaching relationship. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend that there is a new children's pastor out there, or a veteran one that could benefit from kind of doing a coaching type relationship virtually through this podcast. Let me look at it this way. Whether you're a new leader or wanting to renew your ministry, what could you do to start fresh? In other words, what is the first step that you need to take if you're brand new? So you could be brand new and say, what do I do? How do I start? Or you could be in your ministry for a while, but be saying, man, you know, I'm busy, everything's kind of going along, but I just feel like I need to refresh it, and I need to restart it. And I would say to you, in either of those situations, the first thing you have to do is you have to choose intentionally to be what I call a proactive leader. And that's the first step. I've got an article in Kidology. It was published in Children's Ministry Magazine's professional edition, which they have discontinued. It was a wonderful resource. And the article is linked in the show notes on being a proactive leader. And what that means is most leaders, and most of us, myself included, get caught up in being reactive leaders. And what that means is we begin our day reacting to the stuff that is thrust at us. You know, our email inbox, our voicemails, the people who come into our office, the things on our calendar, and we're just reacting. You know, there's just stuff that's got to get done. There's classes have to be filled. There's assignments that are given to us, and we're just reacting. And we can spend our whole life reacting to things. You know, I've joked that I want to get a blank calendar that I just fill in every day what the crisis of the day was, because there's just a crisis every day. But you can decide that you want to be a proactive leader and look above, beyond, and over the reactions and the crises and the fires you're always putting out, and almost start to look over them, because you can't ignore them. You've got to do them, but decide that you're going to be a proactive leader. And I would really encourage you to download that article on what it means to be a proactive leader and really take some time to think that through and read that. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but to say you've got to decide that you are going to be a proactive leader and take that to heart. And the second thing is that you've got to take a fresh, objective look at your ministry as though you were an outsider, you know, as though you were just hired. Now, if you were just hired, that's a little easier. But either way, then you've got to make a list of what needs to be done, and then you've got to prioritize it, and then you've got to commit it to prayer, and then you've got to get to work. Now, this is the same whether you're brand new or whether you've been there 10 years. And I remember my last ministry when I started, I did this. I went through the entire ministry, and I made a list of the fires, and I made a list of things that weren't burning but that I saw needed to be changed. And when you've been there 10 years, you remember back when you started and you thought, oh man, this place is a mess. I mean, they hired you because it was a disaster. Maybe the last person got fired because they weren't doing a good job, or maybe they'd gone for a while without a leader, and so things were a disaster. Or maybe There had been a time gap between the great leader and when you came on, but you know, when you came on, things were a mess, and so there was a lot to do, and you came on saying, "Man, I gotta redo this whole thing," you know, and you wanted to change everything. Well, now you are that leader that if you were hired, you'd want to change everything that you're doing, because you would have this objective, fresh way of looking at everything, and so you've got to find a way to look at yourself critically and your own ministry critically and say, if I were new, what would I change about what I'm doing? And be willing to be a little harsh on yourself and not defensive, not making excuses. Well, that's because I'm busy. That's because I haven't got around to it. That's because, you know, of such and such a volunteer. And start to actually list those things and lay them out. And then you put them in order and you decide what must be done first, what can be put down later. I remember, you know, making my children's ministry environment kid-friendly and beautiful and Bible-themed, you know, that was number 10 on my list. I didn't do that until my last year at my last church. And it was the last thing I got to, because I just knew with the way things worked at that church, property committee and just different factors and things, that I wasn't going to be able to do that first. And I got to that last. And a lot of people do that first, and I'm not sure that's always smart, because that can be a difficult thing to do first. If you have a lot of support, wonderful, do that first. And every church is going to be different, but you've got to make that list of what those things are proactively, and then you begin to work through them. And there's an article there also linked on called A Fresh Look at Your Ministry. But if you're new, that's how you've got to start. You've got to determine you're going to be proactive. You've got to make that list, and you've got to consistently look those over. I've got a document for Kidology, and I call it Focus Areas, and it's literally just a table that lists every area of Kidology, every employee, every factor from finances to stewardship to marketing to conferences to every area of the website, and it varies on how often I do it, from weekly to monthly, but I consistently go over every area of the entire ministry and at least think about it and write down what needs to be done. What are the weaknesses? What are the strengths? So I'm proactively looking at every area of the ministry. And sometimes I have to write down something and say, you know what, that really needs to be done, but I just can't get to it. But at least I've thought about it. At least I've been the one reacting to it and deciding whether I'm going to postpone it or whether I'm going to move it up. And but that's what you need to do, whether you're new or whether you want to renew. You see, we can become so blind to stuff. I remember when I was in high school, my dad did this with the deacons of the church. He took them outside the church and had them walk around the church. And he said, "Do you see anything out here that needs to be fixed or repaired?" And they all said, "No, it looks great." And then he said, "Look at the main front of the church where the cross is. Do you see anything that needs to be repaired?" And they all said no. And then he said, "Look at those black streaks coming down the building. You see, there were these drainage pipes from the rainwater, and they just ended along the side of the building. And then there were these black, ugly lines that were draining down the side of the building. And the front of the church was actually ugly around the cross. And yet they were blind to it because they'd been coming to church for so long and these black lines had been appearing so slowly over time that they couldn't even see it. But to a visitor coming to the church, the main front of the church where the cross was, that should have been beautiful, was disgusting. But the deacons of the church who were entrusted with the care of the church couldn't see it. They were blind to it. They didn't have that fresh view. But it took a new pastor coming to the church to walk them outside and to help them see with fresh eyes what they couldn't see because they'd been there for so long. I was guilty of this once. I had been at my last church for a couple of years, and when I was walking around one time, I noticed a sign in our children's ministry wing. It was one of these boards, a marquee, I think it's called, where you can open it up with a key and change all the little letters inside. Well, I was in the resource room and I found the box with all the little letters. And I thought, well, what do these go to? And I asked someone, they said, no, they go to the sign in the main hallway of the children's ministry wing. And I said, there's a sign out there? And sure enough, I walked out there, and in the main hallway of the children's ministry wing, there was this glass sign with a door that opened with a key, and I had to hunt for the key. And here it had listed all the children's ministry rooms by number and what grade they were and who the teacher's name was, and it was all incorrect information. And I never saw it, because when I saw it, because it wasn't the sign that I had put up, because I had really nice signs by all the classrooms with that slid in and out that had the teacher's name, the room number, and what grade it was, I thought that that big old monstrosity beast sign, I thought it had to do with the adult ministry. For somehow, I was blind to it. I thought it referred to going up the stairs and the adult classrooms. I mean, I don't know. I have some excuse to why I couldn't see it. But visitors, I'm sure there were visitors who came and saw that, and they went, oh. And they read it, and they saw the room numbers and the teachers' names and the grades, and then they went to the room number, and then there was a sign outside the room that contradicted the other sign they read. And that was up there for at least a year, maybe 2 years of my ministry before I saw it. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I've had this up here. And I ripped it. Well, for a while I used it and I changed the name, but I didn't like it. And eventually I got it off the wall. But we can be blind to those things. And so we've got to have fresh eyes and be proactive. I've made both of those articles free at the basic membership level for this entire week, The Proactive Leader and A Fresh Look at Your Ministry. Download those, read those, give them some thought, and be sure to post your comments or feedback if you'd like in the discussion notes on the show notes or in the forum, and I'd love to interact with those with you if you would like. Well, I enjoyed hanging out with you here on Kidman Talk. I hope you were equipped and encouraged in your children's ministry. Today's show is sponsored by the Almighty Bible and the letter A. Your feedback and interaction is very appreciated, whether it is by email or in the forum or by Twitter or the discuss comments on the show notes page. Well, this is Carl Bastian, looking forward to next week when we will talk Kidman again.